This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moscoen in for Terry Gross. Physicians for Human Rights has issued a scathing report today condemning the treatment of women in Afghanistan by the Taliban government, policies which are undermining their mental and physical health. Women cannot leave their homes unless accompanied by men and unless they are completely covered by a burqa, a shroud-like garment. They cannot attend school after the age of 8, cannot work, and are denied access to medical treatment. Researchers for the report interviewed women and humanitarian workers in Afghanistan and in refugee camps in Pakistan. The fundamentalist Taliban government came to power in 1996. They controlled two-thirds of the country in a continuation of a civil war which began in the early 90s. Before that, the country had fought a 10-year war with the former Soviet Union. My guest, Holly Burkhalter, is advocacy director for Physicians for Human Rights. She says the Taliban's extensive discrimination against women is jeopardizing women's health.
If you can't get your girl child seen at a hospital, if you can't walk to a clinic without a male escort, if you don't have a burqa, the shroud-like covering that the Taliban makes women wear, if you can't work and you don't have any money to buy food for your kids, if you're a woman head of household, your husband's dead and you don't have male relatives, you cannot move. And that kind of restriction is going to have a negative impact on your health, and it has had that. We're seeing that women's physical and mental health has plummeted during Taliban's 2 years of control in Kabul, and they're getting sicker and their kids are getting sicker.
Why have the Taliban targeted women?
Well, the Taliban is a very primitive and extremist sect of uneducated young men, many of them recruited from the refugee camps in Pakistan, who were schooled in extremist Islamic schools in Pakistan. And their view and their vision of Islam is that women must be wholly subordinate, and they're basically using this control of women to establish political control over the whole country. It's not just about women. It's their means of subduing everybody in Afghanistan. They're saying that it has roots in Afghan culture, history, and religion, but in fact it does not. I mean, 98% of the women we interviewed, and we interviewed 160 of them, disagreed with the Taliban's interpretation of the Quran. They said there is absolutely no scriptural justification for this, and Muslim scholars would agree with us as well. But the Taliban's completely bizarre and unique interpretation is saying that Islam requires this. Of course, that's false, absolutely false.
What were the findings of the report by Physicians for Human Rights when it comes to the condition of the physical and mental health of women in Afghanistan?
Well, in brief, this extensive medical and human rights survey showed that 71% of the participants experienced a decline in their physical health. 87% showed a large increase in hardship. A huge majority, 81%, reported a decline in their mental health condition. And to elaborate a little bit on that, because I think it's our most important finding, 97% of this very large sample of women who we randomly selected to interview and to take through this 101-question medical survey, 97% exhibited major depression, and 42%, almost half, met the diagnostic criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, which is high anxiety, and which in the United States we would treat clinically as a significant mental health problem.
And I would assume if you're treating something like PTSD, you're talking about sleep problems, you're talking about
terror,
appetite problems, nightmares.
Yeah. Nightmares, terror, shaking, high anxiety, high startle reflex, those kinds of things that can really make you physically and psychologically very ill indeed. And it's not just the huge restrictions on women. I mean, women are basically under house arrest. They cannot leave their homes except under very narrow circumstances. It's not just that. The Taliban's human rights violations more generally terrorize and traumatize everybody, including little kids. I mean, for example, every Friday, the entire population of the city is summoned to the sports stadium to witness punishments. That includes beheadings, hangings, knifings, amputations of hands and legs and feet, beatings, sometimes beatings to death. And that people are so horrified and terrified by these public spectacles that, and children see such things. Our researcher interviewed a child who was just completely traumatized because the little fellow had seen a beheading the previous day. Our researcher had seen it as well, and it was a shocking and appalling experience. And this little boy was just crying continuously, and she asked him why, and he told her it's because they kill people all the time. So when people are constantly, particularly women, are constantly terrified of being apprehended on the street by some young kid wielding a metal chain to beat anyone who might be showing a wrist or an ankle, much less their head, who might be, you know, walking about without a male, close male relative, who might be trying to get a kid to a clinic, to beat those women up.
We've been talking about the condition of women in Afghanistan, specifically in Kabul. What about men?
Men are, of course, also subjected to human rights violations. They are arrested and beaten and tortured in very large numbers. The most common source of the problem appears to be dress code violations for them, namely the length of their beards. The Taliban requires all men to have beards that protrude more than a fist's length beneath their chin, and they'll be hauled in, beaten up, jailed, held for a couple of days, badly hurt if they don't have beards of that length. Also, men, just common criminals who are alleged to have stolen or committed other common crimes, are run through these kangaroo courts and then have a very high likelihood of having a hand or a leg amputated, or even killed, after having had no due process or anything like it. Something like 68% of our sample had themselves been arrested or beaten, or had a close relative who had been arrested or beaten, and that is a very, very large number of human rights violations, and those are inflicted on men as well. The difference, of course, between the treatment of men and women is that men can still leave their homes. They can work. They can walk the streets of the city. They can go pick up relief assistance. They can go to the doctor. They can check themselves into the hospital. None of that is possible for women.
Let me talk a little bit about the recommendations from this report. And Physicians for Human Rights really calls on the humanitarian organizations to address the problems of women in Afghanistan and at the same time to continue the important services that they're providing for a country, of course, that's extraordinarily poor and with great need.
Well, I should make it plain at the outset that the humanitarian groups have operated under extraordinary constraints. It is very, very difficult for them. The Taliban has thwarted efforts to try to bring aid to women at almost every turn. So we appeal to them to do their utmost and redouble their efforts to try to get the aid to those most in need, that is to say women. But it's very hard for them to do so. And I might also add that the Taliban has virtually kicked all of them out of Kabul in late July by ordering the relief community to live in barracks on the edge of town with no electricity and no water. They couldn't do it. They had to leave. So really, I don't think the humanitarian groups are in a very good position to work around or circumvent the Taliban's restrictions, though we hope they do, because it's very clear that despite billions of dollars worth of aid to Afghanistan, it's just not getting through. Only 6% of our sample had any humanitarian assistance at all from the international relief community. I think the real recommendations have got to be directed at the governments of goodwill, including most especially our own, to try to find a way to help Afghanistan get a government that it deserves. And I can assure you that government is not the Taliban.
Are there economic reasons why you think the international community hasn't condemned the treatment of women in Afghanistan?
I don't think economic reasons are the reason, because Afghanistan is not particularly interesting economically. There is interest in this pipeline, but I don't think that's the reason why our government and others have been so flabby and so lackluster in dealing with Afghanistan. No, you know, I think it's more that ever since the Soviet invasion and the terrible abuses then and the the long civil war and the huge exodus of refugees. Afghanistan has just been a human rights disaster, and the world has gotten weary of it. They throw up their hands and they say, well, you know, those Afghans, they can't get their act together. This is the best government they can come up with. At least there's peace. Whatever. If women suffer, well, you know, women have always suffered in Afghanistan. And I think it's that impression is based on the false notion that it's always been this way for women in Afghanistan. That is absolutely untrue. Women are not used to wearing the burqa throughout Afghanistan. Women are not, there's never been a time where women have been prohibited from receiving health care, but there is this false impression that it's this very primitive, very conservative, fundamentalist society anyway.
What about the issue of war crimes? And again, this report calls on a UN to investigate war crimes against women.
The war crimes is not quite the word, if you permit me. The Taliban certainly has been guilty of grave violations of the Geneva Conventions, particularly in their rocketing of Kabul prior to their takeover in 1996. I mean, they were indiscriminately shelling the city. Thousands died. But war crimes isn't quite the term for what's happening to women. It's a different kind of violation than we're accustomed to. In my 20 years' experience in the human rights field, I know of no other country in the world where this level of discrimination and oppression of women because they're women occurs. Even Saudi Arabia, which is well known to be very repressive of women, does not deny women access to life-saving humanitarian aid or health care. And because this is so unique, we don't have structures to deal with it. We don't even have language to deal with this level of human rights abuse. And I think we're going to have the United Nations, the UN Human Rights Commission, and governments of goodwill are going to have to go to the drawing board and come up with some kind of commission of experts and some kind of tribunal that's new, that deals with this unprecedented form of abuse that's not mass rapes, it's not mass killings, but it is mass discrimination that is resulting in slow death and the imposition of the creation of illness, mental and physical, that we've never seen before in the world.
Holly Burkhalter is Advocacy Director for Physicians for Human Rights. We'll hear from the report's researcher after a short break. This is Fresh Air.